From the heart of Italy, a new generation is rising. Join us as we reveal how this exciting ministry is uniting the body of Christ and bringing the gospel to Italian youth. This is The Last Christian Radio Show.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. And joining me all the way from Italy is Miss Esty Martin. And Esty, welcome to The Last Christian Radio Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, we're happy to have you. Let me tell you something. I always do this, you know, if the audience has not met someone before, and that is, I simply ask the question, just who in the heck is Esty Martin?
As you said, my name is Esty, and I actually was born in the U.S., but I was raised in Central Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So okay. So when people are like, where are you from? I have this moment of like, it's a little bit of a story. So yeah, I'm like, there's no easy way to communicate this. It's easy when I'm speaking in English, but when I'm speaking in Spanish or in Italian, they hear my accent and they look at me and they're like very confused because I speak Spanish as a Mexican and Italian with a Mexican accent.
Oh, wow.
But I look the way I look, which is very, I'm very fair. You know, I'm very white looking.
Right.
And they're always like, where are you from? So that's where I was raised.
Okay.
My family moved to Mexico as missionaries and church planters when I was about 5 years old. So I lived in Mexico from 5 years old until I was 19. Yeah. And my dad is a pastor of a Calvary Chapel in Central Mexico.
Good churches. Yeah. Calvary Chapel. Yeah. We strongly advocate for them. I've got a few friends that are in that church. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I'm like, I have been born and raised in Calvary because, yeah, my parents met at one. They were worship leaders and kids ministry leaders, started a church. I went to the Bible College in Southern California when it was there at that point. And through the connections at the Bible College, I was put in contact with Pastor David Downs, who is the pastor of the Calvary here in Turin, Italy, or Torino, which is where I currently live. So I moved here to Italy about 5 years ago to work with the church plant here.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, you've already impressed me because you know three languages. And, I took French in high school, and the only reason I took it is because there was two high schools in town, and the only way that you could go to your preferred high school was to take a course that the other one didn't offer. And long story short, I couldn't even say hello in French. I have no idea. I failed it 2 years in a row, and it didn't count for the third year. So, you know, it was a throwaway.
It's all immersion.
Yeah.
It's all immersion. I don't think I'm not that studious of a person to just pick up a language and learn it, but it's kind of like you have to survive.
Yeah, right.
So when you're at the grocery store sometimes and you're trying to figure out what this is saying and you're like, you want to make sure you get the right thing. And I've had my mishaps for sure.
Yeah.
you have to learn one way or the other.
Right. Well, can you tell us a little bit, everybody's always interested in somebody's journey to Christ because, you know, we all have that in our history if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as you have.
Yeah.
And, your testimony just might reach somebody else that's got a similar story out there, or at least cause them to think for just a moment. And that's all the Holy Spirit needs, and just needs that millisecond to get in there and plant that seed. So would you tell us a little bit about how you came to Christ?
Yeah. As I had mentioned, I am a pastor's kid and a missionary's kid. And like, quite honestly, I remember accepting the Lord when I was five. I was like five going on six. We had just moved to Mexico. I remember we had a little Sunday service at my house because we hadn't, started a church. And I like remember the day. I remember the songs my parents were playing for us. We were singing and then just explaining what the gospel was and asking if I wanted to accept Jesus. And I did. And there was like this distinct memory I remember of having afterwards of like, I knew exactly who Jesus was. And I knew exactly that I had chosen to follow him. So I would say that I feel very blessed to have really always had a life of like walking with the Lord. But for sure, you know, you hit your teenage years and all these things, you're trying to like figure out
who you are and everything else, right?
Who you are. Yeah, but I would say actually probably when I was around 12 years old, there was like, I felt even like kind of those, that Samuel moment of like the Lord calling me to trust him and calling me, calling me to him. And at that point, I think I knew very specifically that like teaching was kind of my thing. And when you are a small church plant in the foreign country and you're the pastor's kids, you kind of do a little bit of everything.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I'm almost sure there's not a ministry or an area within church I haven't done in some way, shape, or form. But that's when I, you know, I was about 12 years old and I started teaching kindergartners. And so I would have like 20 kids by myself. I was like 12, 13. And I had Sunday school with all of those kids. Somehow, you know, somehow I'm the oldest of three.
Okay.
So I have the bossiness nature is just deeply rooted within me. So, I went through that, you know, that season of just, you really growing up was like, okay, you know, you hit 16, 17, like, okay, I'm doing these things because this is what I'm supposed to do. I was definitely that oldest child who like, you know, was very like wanted to please my parents and stuff. And I think my walk with the Lord really deepened too, though, when I was 19 and I went to Bible college. And for the first time, you know, I remember going to like, they had a, I don't know, like an ice cream social event. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can leave and I don't have to clean or tear down chairs, or I can just like walk out of here. And it was kind of this like freeing moment. I'm like, I'm not the pastor's kid. Nobody knows who I am. And I think that was just kind of a season of really me exploring what it meant to have my own identity in Christ that was separate from you're the pastor's kid. You do leadership roles within the church, all of those type of things. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I think, you know, it was just a continuation on of the journey. And I think, you know, if I look back into my teen years, just really seeing my parents taking big steps of faith, living through some kind of crazy things as a family, was really, it just really deeply embedded in me the reality of who God was and who he is, because, you know, we were doing missions in a foreign country and, you know, like live some hard things. And so, yeah. That's kind of been the process that I have been on.
Okay. Well, now, obviously, you didn't travel. You lived. In other words, you traveled to a lot of different countries and you did a lot of different things there, but you actually lived there. And, you know, that's truly being a missionary. And I'm wondering if that made the impression on you to carry on to what you're doing now. When did you feel like, okay, I got to step out on my own now. I got to step away from the parents. I got to step away from what I have, you know, what I'm used to, really, the family unit. And I've got to go out there now and actually be a missionary on my own. Was that a conscious decision? Was it something where somebody said, hey, come on with us? Or what? How did that work exactly?
So I always think this is so funny. And another missionary friend of mine and I were talking the other day how we should write a book or start a podcast called The Reluctant Missionary. Because I can say that though there was two things I was like, I never want to do. And I was like, I don't ever want to grow up and be a ministry, and I don't want to be a missionary. Like, those were my two, like... I also said I didn't want to go to Bible college, and I went there, and I think my life is a repeated pattern of doing things I never wanted to do.
Well, that's because God was telling you what you need to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so funny because for sure there was not this process of like, oh my gosh, this is the dream that I would love to live. And I think mm-hmm. it's because I lived the reality of that life. I know the behind the scenes. I know the struggles. I knew the hardship. And mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I want a normal job with financial stability and, you know, retirement. And if I like uh-huh. investments and mm-hmm. I was like, I wanted that stability. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic. I think even out of my siblings, I probably wanted it the most. And the Lord was like, okay, you're going to go on this different journey.
That's awesome.
This different journey of faith. So from Bible college, I didn't know what I was going to do after. I was considering going back to school or whatnot. And in a matter of like 2 days, I ended up getting a job offer to work at a pregnancy resource center in Washington State.
Okay.
So I had never, I just had my best friend. It was my best friend's from Bible college. It was her grandma who offered me the job. And I was like, you know, also when you're like 21, I had never been there, didn't know anything about the place. I mean, like, I just did the interview. We packed up her car. I think I had $100 in my bank account, and we made it to Washington State. And it was like, you know, just like, okay, because I think I'm very independent. I kind of like that challenge. So I was like, well, a new place, a new job. And mm-hmm. so I was there for 4.5 years. So I did my first thing I said I didn't want to do is working in a ministry.
Right.
But it was a job. Uh-huh. You know, it was a ministry job. So I had some, I think the Lord like gave me some kind of stability.
Foundation. Uh-huh. Okay.
Some foundation. And I had always dreamed of coming to Europe. I always had the goal of at least wanting to learn a third language. And I did a trip with friends in 2018 and we ended our trip in Italy. Mm-hmm. And I remember where I was. I was in the city of Treviso, which is outside of Venice. So it's like you can stay there and spend less and then just do a day trip into Venice. And I just remember walking back to our Airbnb and we were by this bridge and there was something inside of me that was like, I'm moving here in a year.
Oh, wow.
And I told my friend, I'm like, and it wasn't this, you're going to move here to be a missionary, you're moving here to serve God. Because I think mm-hmm. the Lord knew is patient, right? And he knows uh-huh. what we need. And uh-huh. I was like, if he'd been like, you're going to do this, I'd be like, no. Like, not me, Lord, please spare me. But I was like, so I had gone to, I go back, fly back to the States. I go to back to California for my sister's graduation from the same Bible college, and I was talking to the wife of one of my former teachers, and mm-hmm. You know, I was kind of to the point where, you know, I was done living in Washington State. I had come from Puerto Vallarta, so sunshine tropics, and then California, and then Washington State. I think the gray was getting to me. And I had loved my job there. I taught at a ballet studio. My job within the pregnancy center was, I actually taught at the juvenile detention center. Mm-hmm. And I loved that job. I loved working with those kids. But I was like sensing a time like to move on. She's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, sure. I was like, I want to move to Italy, but I have to have some purpose in what I'm doing. I still was not like, I want to do missions or I was like, I want to learn the language because again, like you said, it's not easy to learn a language just by book. I'm like immersion is usually the easiest way. Yeah. And so she was like, I actually have this contact, my friend Danae and her husband are moving to the city or had just moved to the city of Torino, Turin, Italy, which is in the north, to start a church. And she's like, I'm going to put you in contact. And it just kind of like snowballed from there.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, that was 2019. I came for 3 months to kind of like test it out. And I decided, you know, we're talking with Dave here, who's the pastor and his wife, and me. And I was like, yep, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I was like, I had to, you know, work through, again, the reluctant missionary part. I was like, this is not what I wanted to do, but here I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, well, you're kind of leading me into what the next section is going to be about. So before we get there, I do want to remind everybody that here at The Last Christian, we do rely 100% on your support to continue broadcasting the gospel message across the globe. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly offering, every donation, large or small, makes a real difference and is fully tax deductible. Now, you can also support us by just shopping with our trusted affiliates at lastchristian.net. When you buy, they give, and we grow. There's Everyday Dose Coffee. Start your day strong with a delicious mushroom-based coffee alternative that fuels your mind and body without the crash. The Conservative Store. Wear your values with pride and stock up on patriotic gear, gifts, and apparel that stand for truth and freedom. We also encourage you to go to Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, again through lastchristian.net, and there you're going to find that these things are a clean, natural, no-nonsense nutrition made from time-tested ingredients that your body will thank you for. And last but not least, Christian Book. From Bibles to devotionals to homeschool resources, they've got everything you need to grow in faith and share it boldly. Visit lastchristian.net today to donate or shop with a purpose. Together, we are reaching the world for Christ, one message at a time. And, Essie, I'm going to get back to you here. How exactly did this project of yours get started? Where did it come from? I mean, I know you've told us now you moved to Italy. You're in this new ministry. But how did this particular project get going?
So, well, it's so interesting with the timing. So when I officially moved my life, sold everything, got everything here, mm-hmm. I arrived in Italy 1 week before the country locked down for COVID.
Mm.
So March 5th, 2020. Yeah. A week later, everything shuts down. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're just kind of in, I'm newly here. I actually lived under the pastor's house in this little studio apartment and his wife. And I'm super thankful for that. Cause I'm new country, everything. And then COVID happens. And, so Dave's wife, Danae, she is a musician and she's always been, she's very gifted in creating music and fun. And she also loves kids. She grew up with parents, a mom who taught theater, and her dad's actually also a Calvary pastor and he taught Bible at a high school, but she's also always grew up around kind of the arts. And so this project, Più Forti, which means it's essentially stronger together in Italian is what it means. It was really born out of the super simple need of the kids in our church Sunday school were all locked at home, had no connection. Mm-hmm. And she was talking with my now roommate, but my coworker, my teammate then, who was the kids ministry director, how can we encourage the kids? And so she wrote one of the first songs from the first album just as hey, let's write this song. And then actually she and myself and our pastor all dressed up in really goofy clothing. And we recorded the song to send to the kids. And all the kids from our church loved it. And they recorded themselves dressed up all really kind of crazy. And we're sending them back. And I think that sparked the idea in her mind of you think of I'm sure everybody in the U.S. right now, if I were to tell you, think of some Christian kids song, some Christian kids album, whatever, if they're families with kids, they might have their go-to, I hear this all the time, right? The English music Christian media world is vast. And when she wrote that song, she realized, Italians don't actually have this. If they do, a lot of it's translated, but none of it is coming from their language speaking to their kids. And so between her and my teammate who ran the kids ministry, it really just started as, hey, let's write songs for our kids with the purpose of memorizing scripture.
There you go.
So mm-hmm. every song is... She also is, she's an avid music lover, and she's I don't want parents to have to listen to music that they hate by the end of the album.
Right.
She's like, I want them to sound good, but let's make music that is literally, it's scripture. They're straight up Bible verses so that kids can so it's like they memorize this scripture, and it's that the word of God doesn't return void, right? If you hear these songs, I heard a testimony. I was working at a summer camp a couple years ago here in Italy, about how a man had gone to summer camp 50 years prior when he was a kid, memorized songs. At one point in his life, he had this tragic event. I don't remember what it was that happened. And he hadn't thought of these summer camp songs for his whole adulthood. And that song came to his mind. And it was that moment that the Lord really spoke to him and it spoke to his heart. And so that's been the whole purpose of what we are doing. Is it started as a means to reach the kids in our church. Then we realized there's actually a huge void here for good quality Christian music.
Well, I wanted to jump in on that one for a second. I'm loving the story, by the way. But you were talking to me a little bit before we got going in the pre-show that there aren't that many Christians in Italy right now. And so this targeting of the youth, that's the best thing you can possibly do. Here in the United States, we're seeing the worst of that, in that our children here in the United States are being indoctrinated with things that are anti-American, they're anti-Jewish, they're anti-church, they're anti-Christian, they're anti-God. You know, they're being indoctrinated with that, and parents don't even know it. But over there, is it more open because you are in you're in the Catholic center of the world? Let's be honest. You know, you're in Italy. Is it easier to get to the children there, or are they receptive to the story, or are they sticking to the Catholic thing, or none at all? What's going on with the youth right now?
So I think it's a very interesting question, and even as I've been here for 5 years, I think I'm still figuring it out and learning. I would say a lot of the younger generation, and when I'm saying younger generations, I'm talking like 35 and below, maybe 40 and below, I would say are very much nominal Catholics. They're Catholic by tradition.
Right, okay.
The benefit I do see, and I see this both of having grown up in a Catholic country like Mexico and now living in Italy, is that there is a general openness because they kind of have this, they respect their nonna, you know, they respect the grandparents, they respect the grandparents' religion. They've all been baptized. They've all done their first communion and confirmation and stuff. So I don't see a resistance necessarily of like we are against this by any means. We actually had a girl, a family that we've known who like loved the music. And in the public schools here, they still have religion class. Like that's still a part of their schooling. And she even asked if she could share the music with the class. And the teacher's like, yeah I think that should be fine. Mm-hmm. And so I would say there is an openness. To your point that you had mentioned earlier, and I was telling you this, and I had told somebody else this recently, there is a distinction in Italy that, you know, the Catholics make, and I guess the Christians make, is like you have the Catholics, and we call ourselves like evangelical Christians, to make that distinction. Born-again evangelical Christians, I think I looked it up, they're about 1.3% of the Italian population. And then to give some perspective, Muslims are about 4.5% of the whole population. Mm-hmm. So there is this assumption, I think, that people see Italy as the Catholic center of the world. But because so many of them are nominal, many of them really don't know Jesus or know God. They know the art, maybe. They know the history of the church. They know that. But I don't know, especially within the younger generations, a lot that are devout Catholics. I think I've met one young guy in his like 20s that he and his wife were like, yeah, we're part of the Catholic Church, and we like to go every week, and we have a young... I was like, okay, you're the first I've ever met.
Well, you know... over here, and I'm sure over there too, you know, you've got the people that call themselves Christians, and they're far from it. I was one of those for many years myself. And, you know, you've taken on a huge challenge over there. Now, you mentioned that Muslims out, you know, more of them by about times four than mm-hmm. Christians. Are you seeing a growth of the Islamic faith over there? How is Italy addressing the Islamic faith, again, within the heart of Catholicism there in Italy? How is the reception of Muslims, and are they bending over backwards, you know, to be politically correct and all that kind of crap?
I think what it is, the reason is there is such a large percentage of it is because of the immigration. So there's a lot of North African and Middle Easterners who immigrate here. And Italy is kind of like the entry point for them to the rest of Europe. I actually know other people who work with this specific population, and they do really cool work. So I would say I don't think Italians are super receptive to it. Torino, and specifically the city I live, is incredibly diverse, and so you kind of have like you have the Arab population, you have the Africans, you have the South Americans. Okay. So they're very distinct pockets. Yeah. I don't see a lot of the Italian specific, and I can't actually say I know this because I've kind of been in my, you know, section. I don't know though of a lot of Italians who are like necessarily converting. It's more, and I could be wrong. I think I'd actually have to ask my friends who work more in that demographic.
So it's more of the fact that they bring in their beliefs rather than try to indoctrinate others is what I'm getting.
Yeah, and there really is a lot of cultural separation. They very much, there's so many cultures, they very much stick to their clan of people. So even there's markets that I love going to, and they're predominantly North African, Middle Easterners there. Yeah. And okay. I can find, you know, Moroccan food. You have these pockets of people here.
Okay. Well, now, you know, the Bible speaks of the harvest being ready. So it seems like this project that you guys are is basically preparing the harvest there in Europe, which is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to get more into it in the second half of the show. I'm also going to ask you a question. I'm going to leave this with the audience where they'll hang out with us for the second half for sure. And that is, you are located in Turin, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. Right now, there's a bunch of people out there. And as a matter of fact, it's even been on our show, the Shroud of Turin. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that you have heard some stories there about that. And I'm sure that our audience is going to love it because they have listened to Mondo Gonzalez with Prophecy Watchers or L.A. Marzulli, or even here at The Last Christian, we have discussed the Shroud of Turin and the fact that modern-day science just can't figure out how it was done. We'll be back in just a moment with the second half of The Last Christian.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book, each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas in the United States of America, and that is Miss Esty Martin, all the way from Turin, Italy. And welcome back. Now, I've told people, I gave them a little bit of a teaser there at the end of the first half, that I was going to ask you about the Shroud of Turin, because there seems to be a tremendous amount of interest all of a sudden about... I'm trying to remember the year. I think it was around 2005, maybe. I'm not 100% certain on that. That science took a little bit of a, they took a clip out of the Shroud of Turin and said, no, it's fake. There's just nothing there. And it turned out that the patch that they took was actually from a piece of material that was put into the thing later after a burning incident several decades ago. And so now science cannot figure out how you've got a photographic negative on a shroud it's almost perfect to the way that the crucifixion is described. So my question to you, after that very long introduction, is what do you know about the Shroud of Turin? Have you ever seen it or anything like that? What's going on?
So the Shroud of Turin, actually, whenever anybody comes to visit, I usually take them to the church where it's at to see it. Oddly enough, you actually can't physically see it. It's in like a giant coffin behind bulletproof glass. Because in early 2000s, somewhere is when it was up higher in actually the Royal Palace. So there's the Royal Palace of Turin. Because they actually had the shroud in there. And the Royal Palace, certain area had its own. The royals used to have their own entrance into the chapel. But after that burnt, they moved it down into the chapel. So it's now in the church. So it's like free entries. I would say I know about as much as you had mentioned. I had heard about the problem with the testing. Also how they were like wanted to test it again. And the Catholic Church is like, nope, you've already tested it once. You can't come back and you can do it again. So I've seen the coffin that that the shroud is in. I've not seen it in real life. I think the last time it was on display was a Jubilee year or something when the Pope was in town, and it might have been 2008 the last time it's been seen out of its coffin.
Okay. Well, you know that I always say it, and I'm copying Mondo on doing this, but. I don't need the Shroud of Turin to prove the existence of Jesus Christ. I don't need it to, it has no real point in my faith in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But if we can get somebody's attention and have them take a look at that and open up the question in their mind, is this real? I also say many times that all the Holy Spirit needs is just that little bit of thought. to plant that seed and then let it grow, and hopefully we'll lead somebody to Christ. That's our goal here.
Absolutely.
Can you tell me anything about your teens over there, the kids that you work with? And you said some of them aren't teens anymore, but anyway, the kids that you work with over there, can you tell me a little bit about their story? How someone was brought to faith, maybe, or you know, anything really about them that would be of interest?
Yeah. So you're talking about like with the project specifically?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just I'll kind of backtrack, but we are now currently working on the second album of the Piforti project. So I'll just show you just for people. So this is like our first album that we created. And then,
we've now. Yeah, I'm putting you up there full screen there, Esty, where everybody can get a good look.
Yep. So we actually have, it's great because we have some of the kids from the first album are on the second album cover.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we started I know, right? It's crazy to see them grow up. So we started in 2021, like recording the first album and create. And the album, it consisted of music, which then we created music videos to go with each song at a pretty professional level.
Okay.
And we created Sunday school resources to go with each song. So as I had mentioned earlier, each song is a Bible verse.
Okay.
And so within each Bible verse, it's like a whole essentially inductive Bible study connected to it.
Hang on 1 second. Something just went right through me there. You said that each song is from a Bible verse? Is that what you said? Oh, that is awesome. Okay, tell me a little bit about that, because that's something new and different, unless you're talking about the psalm, of course. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of songs taken from that, but my goodness. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, you won't be able to, like, read this exactly, because it's in Italian. But, each song comes from a different verse, right? So it's like we have 1 Samuel 16:7, Proverbs 9:10, Psalms, I can't see it. It's whatever. Sorry, Psalms 84:5. So each song is literally a Bible verse. And the whole point was being able to make scripture enjoyable to memorize. And that is connected to that, like them holding God's word in their hearts.
Okay.
And then, there's not a lot of resources that are Bible-centered for kids. We realized with the first project that everything we had for, like, kids was very little kid-like or made kind of, like, early 2090s, so pretty outdated.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the need. We're like, let's make music that are going to reach kids, which then we're like, well, we live in the digital age. Like, how many times do you go out and you see a parent take their phone and just, like,
oh, yeah,
put it in front of the kid, and that's what they're watching, right? Mm-hmm. And so we want to make something that is visually stunning, captivating, and that's also going to continue to impact kids where they're also hiding God's word in their heart.
Well, it's really cool because you said, you know, that it's built on Bible verse, and that means that the Bible verse is in the song. And, you know, like I can remember songs from the 1970s. As soon as they come on, you know, I could sing if I could sing. I would sing along with them, you know, because I know the words. I know every word. So to do that with Bible scripture, that, you know, they're going to memorize the Bible verse through the song. And I can't think of a better deal. That is cool, Esty. That's a really cool idea. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we didn't just want to make, Christian-based songs or whatever. We really wanted them to have a super deep meaning. And that's why we even realized, hey, well, we have the songs, we have the music. There's also a huge need for resources. Like, I don't know if you have grandkids or nephews and nieces or whatever. How many of those kids go to VBS?
Well, my grandchildren did because they live with us. I got two that we inherited. So, you know, but my children, I always say this because I feel like I need to confess it every time. And that is I did not raise my children correctly. I did not give them the Bible, the way that it was presented to me. And that is my fault 100%. And I asked the Lord for forgiveness for not giving them the base that they need, and I'm hoping that they will come along, that they got enough from their grandparents. But my grandkids, they get it. Trust me. I think I look at it as my second chance in life.
Yeah.
So, you know. But anyway, to get back to you, you were talking about multi-denominations working together, and I am assuming by that that you're talking about Baptist, Methodist, you know, whatever. But how about Catholics? Or do you incorporate them into it? And what do you teach those Catholic kids that they're taking back to their Catholic parents?
Well, so to kind of like piggyback on to what you were saying about your grandkids and kind of what I had was mentioning is, in the U.S., right, we have, there's so many resources when it comes to Sunday school, VBS, like there is a plethora. And here, there's not. There's really not that much. It's a lot of churches coming up with their own and searching. And my roommate, who's my teammate also, she runs the kids ministry. I've seen her look, right? It's just limited. And so that's why we call it a project, because it's not just music. It's not just the music videos. It's those Sunday school VBS type resources. And so the project in and of itself is very interdenominational, in the sense that we have had a lot of people from a lot of churches help and collaborate. Because Italy as a country, they don't have financial resources. So it's, you know, we are working on raising funds, and that's my big role in this project is fundraising. But what they do have here is time. They don't have time. They give their time to help with the project. So we've been able to create this. We've done the first project. We're in the middle of the second project right now. What we have heard from other churches, because we haven't been the ones hosting the VBS. I mean, our church is new and starting, and we've been focused on creating the material. There's a couple other Calvaries and other, like, summer camps that when we released the first project, they used our music, they used our Sunday school resources, and what they have in the town, they'll call them like Gres, they'll have these summer camps that are very popular to go to, and that's, you're getting kids from just whatever background, you know, it's not specifically for the churches. And recently we were sent video from somebody who's like, has these kids who've been coming to this like summer camp. There's like day camps, their family does not believe in the Lord, but the kids loved the music from the second album, and they're singing it and singing it back to their mom, and they have all the words of these songs memorized. And
that's
like,
awesome.
They're singing them to their parents. So mm-hmm. as they've memorized mm-hmm. these words, now they're singing them. Their parents don't realize they're actually being, scripture is being played in their house. Scripture
Amen.
Is being played in the
Amen.
Cars.
And that is awesome.
And another big thing that was really important to this project is we give all of our resources for free. So we sent out packets of CDs, and, you know, it was kind of like, because there are still people who have cars with CD players here, but also to kind of give something that has, like, people know this has a value to it, right? And so we're like, we want to convey that this is a gift. We want to give it to you in a way that that it's kind of like impactful. It's something tactile. And so we sent, for the first project, I think we sent packets of info to like 1,500 Christian churches all over Italy to share what we have.
Wow.
With the second project, so I'll go quickly into the second project. The second project is really focused on teens, because we realized that with, like, for kids, that we have some, there is some resources, but like specifically geared towards teens. Like, I actually looked, we researched, nothing exists. There's nothing that is specifically created for teenagers in Italian that is scripture based. So
until
we did
now.
Two things. Until now, yes, we are really pioneering this. We are the first.
That's great. Yeah.
So we created this, but also with this, we're like, okay, I remember getting tracts, right, as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm,
sure.
And mm-hmm. Those aren't very tangible. We're like, really, like, we're trying to, how do we reach those Gen Z, these young kids, and they love merch. Mm-hmm. So we came up with all of these bracelets.
Oh, let me get that up there too. Hold on one second. I'll get that up there. There you go.
They'll show you. We have a couple of them. They like wording in English. So we have this one that's one of the strongest. Più forti means stronger. So we have that.
Okay.
Fatti coraggio is Have Courage.
Okay.
Based on one of the songs. These are all titles of songs. Who Will I Fear?
Oh.
And then this is like I Am Convinced, you know.
Oh, yes.
And okay. What's unique about these is we actually did QR codes on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because instead of having, you know, trying to hand out flyers of the music, we're like, if we give them something that they like, that they want to wear, we found that these are really trendy right now in Italy.
Okay.
They can wear these bracelets, and then everybody has a smartphone. They can scan the QR code, and then they hear the music.
There
and so our goal, and we're giving out, you know, we actually printed 5,000-6,000 of these. Mm-hmm. We already finished the first batch.
Wow.
And we're needing to, we printed a small amount of the next one because we're working on fundraising.
Okay.
And what we're having, and we're asking people in churches, is use these as a way to share the gospel.
There you go.
Because now, if I go and I'm...
I'm sorry to butt in on you.
No, go for it.
But you're talking about the QR code back there. So if one kid has got this bracelet on, they're walking around the street, you know, they meet up with their buddy on the other side over there, and, hey, you know, I like your bracelet. Yeah, you can get one too. All you got to do is get this thing right here.
Yeah.
You know, I can see how that spreads really quick. And that's an awesome idea to put that on there because, you know, and I haven't even done that on our site yet. QR codes and me don't get along for whatever reason. I can put my phone. I have tried to do it, but I just can't do it. I'm old. I can't figure it out.
You know, they came back here after COVID. They had this whole resurgence, and they were like everywhere now. So we're like, if everybody's using QR codes from a restaurant to information, like, let's do... You know, as Danae, who is our director and our creator, she's like, kids aren't in libraries anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are on their phones.
Yeah.
And that's our goal, is like, I don't like the phone. I don't like what social media is doing to us. I don't like what it's doing to kids' brains. But the reality is that's where they're at.
Right.
So I don't want to be here and be like, oh, I think this is bad, so we're not going to do it. It's like, no, if that's where they're at, that's where we're going.
You got to embrace it and use whatever is available to you. And, you know, even though the Lord said, you know, the gospel is going to be preached in all of the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you figured out a new way, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the and look at Psalms 78:4. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. So, you know, that kind of fits into what you're doing. But now you also mentioned a challenge, and your main challenge is like everybody else's that's in our field, which is trying to lead somebody to Christ. We've got to give a lot of stuff away for free, whereas, you know, the secular world doesn't have that problem because, you know, they use all kinds of ways to pull somebody in that we would never use. But tell me about your challenges now, and I'm talking specifically about your funding and your resources there, because it's tough to get it. It's tough to continue a ministry. I know the challenges of it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So right now, that's our big push. We are in the middle of fundraising. The first project costs around 20 grand to fully produce, and music videos, music, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we had some money at the beginning of the project. So we've produced the album, we've CDs, we've worked through three of our music videos. What we're also doing uniquely with the second project is really having a strong social media presence, because that's where the teens are. So God has beautifully expanded our team because we need so much help, and we're doing things that are so above and beyond us. My job has been trying to fundraise, and I have been trying to fundraise from Italy for the last 4 or 5 months. That's how I got in contact with you. I just started sending emails out to churches, to radio stations, and I'm like, we are really trying to do something that's new and unique in Italy. Do you want to come alongside us? I think the biggest challenge I keep facing is kind of twofold. It's one, we're in Europe, so people don't, I think sometimes I'm like, they forget that people in Europe, they need Jesus too.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, it's not just the 1040 window. And as we talked about, like, that actual evangelical population is small. And second, what we are doing is it's arts-based, it's music, you know, it's kind of hard And I get it, because I'm very like practical minded. I'm in charge of the finances of the project, not the creative side. But that's kind of the challenge as we are trying to raise funds, because this is a fully free project. We have to, you know, I didn't know, but you know, you think about the cost of musicians and producers. We actually have an amazing producer who moved from California to Southern Italy. He's Italian, and he's a pastor of three little churches. He's like an itinerant pastor. His name is Mick Taras. He works like producing music, I think, for Discovery Channel. And so he gives of his time, right? So we have a lot of people giving of their time, but we have our videographer. We have bracelets that we're trying to print as like actual tangible things to give out, the music, produce like all of the work that goes into when you make a music video. Like, you need costumings, you need sets, you need all those type of things. So, I mean, we have crazy stories from our first project where we would go, my teammate and I went to the store and we're like, do we have 7 euros more to buy glue and paint? Like, can we actually afford this? Or we were like, we need a wicked crazy amount of cardboard. And we're like, this is going to be so crazy. And then Dave and our pastor and his wife, Danae, the director, drove by a motorcycle shop. And like, I didn't know that they made cardboard boxes that big. So every Tuesday morning, I was going to the motorcycle shop and bringing back boxes to build sets.
That's
so
cool.
Even with us, like, scraping pennies, doing everything, mixing our own paint colors, finding free things. I mean, the first project still was 20 grand to produce, being very limited. So I am going back to the States. I leave here for to see family mid-August to September 6th. And after September 6th, what I'm doing now is I'm also just trying to reach out to churches and people and be like, where can I come and share about what we're doing?
You lead me right into the next question here, which is, you know, your future plans for this.
Yeah.
And how you are going to expand. I think that's where you are going. So, fill us in on that. What lies ahead for you?
Okay. So we have currently, as I said, we finished the second album and we've released that. But with that, if you guys look on our YouTube page, so Piu Forti, P-I-U, F-O-R-T-I, Piu Forti Project. You can find us on YouTube, on Instagram, and you can see what we've been creating. For this second project, we are 3 videos in. We have 7 left to go. And so we have come to the point where we've paused the production because we don't have enough money. On average, it takes us about 2 grand to produce each video, plus all of the other elements. So it was kind of a hard thing. We've had a lot of hiccups with this last project. And my director and I were talking the other day and we just prayed about it. And I already had a family, like I already had my personal like vacation to see family set aside. And I'm like, I'm trying to do everything long distance. And I'm so thankful for you guys because you were probably 1 out of 2 people out of like the thousands of emails who like responded. I'm like, okay, Lord, like, right now I'm going to go back to the States and it's crazy because I don't even know exactly where I'm going. I have a church who's going to have me in Knoxville, Tennessee. And outside of there, I'm kind of going to travel around and see where I could come share and share the need that we need to raise more money. Like our original goal is we would love to raise 20 to 25,000 to keep this project going and move into our third phase, which would be a third album. But just minimum, and that's not printing any more bracelets. Yeah. That's not giving out more resources. We need to raise about 10,500 to finish the production of this second project.
Okay. Well, now for those of you that are watching in video form, you see the website there for SD is listed. For those of you that are just listening to us on radio out there somewhere in the world, let me encourage you to go to lastchristian.net. That's lastchristian.net. And there you will find the video version of our talk today. And you'll see the information there. Also, SD, I put it on when we do the podcast and all that stuff. You know, we put it on everything. I will have your website listed in the description field, whether it be in video or audio description areas. So hopefully we can help you out a little bit there. Now, you know, the important thing here, whether it is our ministry here at Last Christian, whether it is your ministry there, and I don't want to mispronounce the name, so I'm going to let you do that. But, you know, no matter which ministry that you want to support, please do. You know, we all need help. One of the things, I'm real quick here, I was unsure that we really needed to do this ministry that we're doing. And all of a sudden, my bank just gave me $1,000 for no reason other than filling out a survey when I was praying about what I should do. And that was a good clue. So that's how The Last Christian really developed into a radio show. Anyway,
it's a mustard seed of faith, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was a huge leap of faith. Let me tell you, it turned out to be like a 30 grand. But anyway, would you tell people out there how they can come to the Lord? And, of course, anything else that you would like to say about your ministry as well, because I want to get as much information out there as I possibly can. So if there's anything I have omitted, please address that now. I'm going to give you the last 3 minutes of the show to do that. How's that? Go ahead.
Yeah. So you can just look us up on YouTube, Instagram, on our webpage. It's, for those of you like watching online, it's the Pew Forty Project. You just like Google us. You can find us.
Oops, I hit the wrong button. Hold on a second, because I hit the wrong button, and I want to make sure everybody gets to see this. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah, so you're able to reach us there at our like email, pewfortheproject@gmail.com. Like, we all answer those emails, or directly through the website. The website links everything. I'll just mention that when you go to the website, if this puts it on your heart, you're like, hey, I want to help these people share the gospel with teens in Italy, and I want to give financially towards this, there's the donate button on the page. It will link you to a ministry that we partner with called Promise Child. That way, all of your donations are tax deductible. They're all traced. Okay. We always want to make sure to go above and beyond, to be above board on those things. And so they do a lot of cool ministry in Africa, and we're good friends with them. And they're like, yeah, we'll take you on. So you won't, when you see the link, it will link you to a different page, but it says Italian music. It's clear that it's us.
Okay.
But it will link you to that.
Yeah, well, I've seen, I have visited your website, and I have seen the Calvary Chapel thing down there as well. And also, we're going to do our best to link SD up with a few other people. I know at least one of them is with Calvary Chapel, but I can't remember who it is or where they're located. But anyway, I'll figure all that out. But the ministry itself is unique, and I think that you're doing just a tremendous service over there. And I wish you nothing but the best. I mean, I think you guys you've locked on to something that is new and different. And, you know, Satan can't create anything new, but Christians can, and the Lord can. So, you know, what you're doing over there is just awesome. I'm going to give you here just a couple of minutes or 1 minute, actually, even less than that. Thank you so much for being a part of The Last Christian today. And is there any last second message that you'd like to send out there?
Just that, honestly, walking in obedience to the Lord is the best gift that you could ever give yourself. Amen. And those people who are around you. And having that faith in Jesus, and walking in obedience. My life verse, as unromantic as it sounds, is it's better to obey than to sacrifice. And so many blessings come from that. So if you're at a point in your life and you're listening to this and you're having that hard time of like, Lord, struggling with that obedience, it's, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to be here. I still struggle with it. I still say I'm like, I'm a reluctant missionary.
Well, we are out of time, Missy. Thank you so much for being a part today. And if we're not raptured, we'll see you next time. Good night.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality and prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.